Hey guys, welcome to the Lifetime Athlete podcast. The Lifetime Athlete is the home of online physical therapy coaching and now the master classes where you can take a deep dive into peak performance training, nutrition, injury prevention and management, and much more. So thank you for joining us today. This is episode number 125 and the title is Born to Run, in parentheses, revisited. We're going to revisit the topic of are humans born to run, as this has been talked about on the show before and other places on the Lifetime Athlete. We're your hosts, John Zombro and PK. Good day.
Good morning, Jay-Z.
Indeed it is. It's a bright, sunny one. And I think that always, as we were talking before we went on air, makes us feel like the day is filled with more possibility than when it's a gloomy one. That's how I feel today.
Yeah, especially after a long winter. Woo, I am ready for it.
Yeah, I'm sipping some mint tea, and it's so palate cleansing and refreshing. Just goes with my attitude.
Oh man, you seem so grounded. There's a tone in your voice that just says cleansed.
Well, so you know how there's this topic, this term that we all hear about so often, you know, biohacking, you know, and I'm not so sure I love that term, but I think of more like natural acts that, you know, are conducive to killer results, N-A-C-K, NAC, biohacking. And, you know, if you just simply got some sunshine, got some movement in the fresh air, maybe you went barefoot and did the grounding, as you indicated, on the earth, and also picked up a little bit of, you know, UV action through the skin, I think you're doing most of it right there.
You know, I think that the idea of biohacking, for me, I think about being in a situation or being in a state of mind or an environment where you need to hack it. I think that if you talk to some folks who are just kind of getting these things naturally, and if you were to say to someone who got out for an early walk and they lived, like, let's say somewhere warm, so they're just walking on the beach, and this is pre-COVID, of course, in their bare feet getting some vitamin D, and you said to them, excellent job biohacking, they'd be like, wait, what do you mean? I just went for a walk this morning because that's what I do. And so I think that the idea about the hacking, it's when things are unnaturally out of balance and you need to artificially bring them back into balance with the hack.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, that person on the beach would say, well, I'm not necessarily hacking. I'm just living life, being jacked or jacking up life. So, we had no intention of discussing any of this, folks, but when you talk about hacking, there's also that idea of hacking up a lung because you've been running, and this may have some relationship to today's topic.
That is an amazing transition, exactly, and I think, you know, born to run, it's the time of year, at least where we're at in Southwest Montana, when winter is sort of slowly retreating and we're getting some sunny days and spring is a mixed bag. But this is the time when you're really starting to see folks out there locomoting early, late, midday. And so it's kind of the opening of the running season where we live.
And well said. I couldn't have said that better. And since May, the month of May is Human Locomotion Month, so arbitrated by the powers that be here at TLA. what better way to set the stage for next month being May? You know, we're still talking in April, last few days, by once again addressing that question, are humans born to run? So this has always been an extremely popular topic in my circle and probably many of our listeners, and one that I like to approach academically. I see this entire subject as less of a debate and more of a chance to consider science, context, and individual variances within this magnificent human beast.
John, I think that, and I think about this when I was reading and thinking about this episode, I think that are humans born to run if we look at the population of people considering that question on the bell curve, I think there are some on both ends that say, no, I don't run at all. And others that say, absolutely, I need to run. So I think that we're really trying, and those are the zealots on either side. We're trying to find the folks in the middle. So if you find yourself on either side, I don't know, maybe today isn't for you. Now, I'm not encouraging you to depart and stop listening. I'm just saying, like, there has to be some middle ground to at least open up the conversation so we can talk about it.
Yeah. And first of all, we, apparently you and I are not the only people who've ever pondered this subject. Lifetime Athlete Podcast, health and fitness, rock and roll, edutainment. You know, Springsteen probably, he said it first, you know, it's trans like us, baby, we were born to run. Or how about this one? Mighty, mighty Bruce Dickinson at the helm of Ed Force One from Iron Maiden. Run to the hills, run for your life.
Now that song was out. That song was about a 5K, I think.
Well, actually, the song was, I won't even go into it. It's a very
don't.
You know, we've got Jackson Browne, you know, running on empty, and that's possibly, you know, for someone who's improperly fueled. And we've talked about athletic nutrition here on the show many times. And then you've got, you know, we no longer have Glenn Frey, but, you know, him and company and Don Felder and Don Henley, and they're singing, who can go the distance? We'll find out in the long run. And, you know, that probably appeals to the marathoners and ultra marathoners of our crowd.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And, you know, okay, so there are many, many more. I'm only going to do one more, of course. This would be near and dear to my heart, maybe yours, Van Halen, running with the devil.
Near and it takes me back to my youth in so many different facets. Bravo, Jay-Z. What a wonderful, you know, all those different little treats that you shared with us. Running has certainly been on a lot of our minds, probably since we were, you know, since our ancestors were trying to get away from saber-toothed tigers and then chase down food and whatnot.
Yeah, or at some point, you know, once you've gone through the developmental sequence as a little one, and you get to you get to run, and you're like, oh wow, that was pretty interesting. I got from point A to point B a little quicker than I had been. Isn't that awesome?
isn't that awesome? So I guess when you think about this, when we're revisiting it, help frame this up for me. You know, how do you think about it, and how are we going to begin our discussion today of running and humans being born
upon? Okay, let's put some context up and maybe begin by going with the broader definition of locomotion.
I like it.
Okay, so humans are bipedal beasts. Bipedal means, you know, we stand on two legs. And if we exclude things like monkey bars or swimming or crawling, we generally get from point A to point B by using those legs.
Absolutely.
Walking is the most basic form of gait or locomotion. This is our most frequently used functional low gear, if you will. What walking makes, what makes walking unique, should I say, is that it is performed in a manner, if you think about this, one foot is always in contact with the ground, and there is a point when both feet are touching the earth simultaneously. So you don't pick up the back foot until you've got some weight on the front foot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know that well.
Yes, as should all of us. But it's really cool when you stop for a moment and think about it. It's like, oh yeah, that's actually what's happening. Now, next up in locomotion, we go from walking to running. And running is next. And we can include every pace and effort level, excuse me, from jogging to really fast running. It doesn't matter. It's all running in terms of the mechanics. What's unique about running is that now in the running status, no matter how slowly we may go, only one foot is on the ground at a time. And we have a phase when both feet are in the air.
Indeed. Okay. I'm with you. I'm considering it. You're right. That does kind of set the stage for what we're talking about here.
And I always like, you know, I'm trying to always say science and common sense, you know, let's boil this down. But, you know, when you pause and you think about that, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. You know, it's a different mechanic. And certainly the effort level varies as well. Now, the last part of locomotion, human locomotion, as bipedal beasts, is sprinting. And it's the final form we should consider. It's different than running because true sprinting is performed at maximal effort, certainly for less than a minute, and it's not sustainable over anything but short distance or brief time periods. Sprinting is, it's mechanically unique, you know, as well, in terms of how we accelerate and drive out, and then when we reach max velocity, how we cycle the legs and arms. So you can draw a line here. You know, true sprinting, it's not fast running, it's sprinting. And I think everyone has felt this and knows the difference. This is really the fountain of youth, if you will, sprinting is. And not only does it represent vitality, it's how you win in sports as a lifetime athlete. You know, being slow, despite the tortoise analogy, doesn't equate with winning.
No, definitely doesn't outside of that almost fairy tale or idiom, however that is. So, all right. So then I guess if we set the stage like that, my natural and the obvious question would be, are we as humans born to do these three forms of locomotion?
Well, in typical Coach Jay-Z fashion, I've got some long-winded response to that question. And the first thing I'm not going to say is, maybe, because I love saying maybe. Sometimes I get to do that here on the show. But what I'm going to say is to the answer of your question, are we born to do all three forms of locomotion? I'm going to say both yes and no, and then I'll qualify those.
Okay, let's hear it.
So if you think about it, on the yes part of that humans are born to run, with the exception of And deep respect for anyone with a relatively rare congenital condition, whatever that may be, that inhibits their locomotive abilities, everyone is born with the ability, that's a key word, once they develop through infancy, to do those three things, to walk, jog or run, and sprint.
And it does make sense. That is, I think that it's going to be interesting when we get to the other side, but that absolutely tracks with, I think, both the human experience and what we can observe out there in the world.
Sure. And I'd say, watch any kid on a playground and, you know, he or she in doing what they're doing, they will walk, for sure. You'll see that. And they'll frequently sprint. You've probably also noticed when you watch kids, they don't jog much. You know, that's more of an adult thing for probably lots of reasons.
Yeah. Lots of reasons.
Yeah. Kids don't jog. Okay. Remember that one. But you know, we're not necessarily born to be doing these things all the time. We're just born with these inherent capacities to be able to use those tools to move our body at different rates. That's really all it is. And yeah, everybody has that. And that's what I want to come back to a little later.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, let's flip to the other side of that. You said yes and no. What is the no side of that coin?
Yeah, asking me to dive deeper into the no side of my answer. This makes my brain spin, honestly. But if I try to stay in the context of that position I put out earlier, yes and no, I would say not everyone, or actually not many people, any modern humans, especially in our current melting pot human genome, is born to run long distances. And that's where, you know, we get into this. That's a leap in assumption that too many people in our running and fitness and greater health communities have taken. And again, the point here that I'm making is everyone, yes, has these capacities to do a little bit of all those things, but very few of us are really engineered to be running long distances all the time.
Yeah, and I think that there's a subtle difference here between can and should. And I know you're going to get down into, how do you break that up then? So if you say, okay, whether it's unpopular or not, you're just speaking the truth here that as you see it. So how do you talk to someone, or how do you look at, or how would you sort of help someone understand where they fit into that, group?
Yeah. 100%. Only certain body types. So I'm always respective of all body sure. types, and that's part of this yes. modern human genome, you know, that we have. You have to be careful looking at only, you know, specific races or cultures who maybe haven't been in the melting pot as long. You know, there is some quite high amount of validity to that. But the greyhounds of our species, or if you use, and you should use the animal fit method, the animal fits the lifetime athlete body typing system. The coyotes are the ones. They're, you know, obviously that's sure. relative of the greyhound, made to run long distances at moderate effort. These are always the people every time who become elite distance runners, and theirs is a unique biomechanical and physiologic skill set.
You know, John, and I agree with you, and I see that. One thing that I just popped into my mind is that we, and you are obviously doing this, you do it with all things that you consider, being very respectful and almost gentle with this assertion that only certain body types are, you know, the modern body type born to run. And I was thinking on the flip side of that coin, well, if you and I were talking about powerlifting, we wouldn't be as delicate by saying, well, yeah, only certain body types are designed to powerlift. What is it about running that puts us into this kind of almost being respectfully, but wary of being defensive mode? Is it just that everyone does it because it doesn't require special equipment, or what is it about the idea of running that makes us kind of take this wary approach to saying something that could be controversial?
Man, that's deep and insightful. And it's stimulating to me, but I'm not sure how to formulate my answer. I would say that, you know, like you said, maybe because running is so prevalent as it's one of our forms of locomotion that people mm-hmm. make that leap. And so some of what I'm saying on the yes side was, yes, every human is born sure. with those three capacities. And so they can, and also should, maintain a very small amount of all those basic functions. Those are the absolute yeses. Where the no comes in is saying, well, even if you could, should, a person who is, like you said, let's say just built like a power lifter, because at TLA, we celebrate the human beast. You know, some of us are built more for mobility, some mm-hmm. for speed, some for strength, sure. but no power lifter or offensive lineman or competitive shot putter, you know, is built, in my opinion, to run a marathon or certainly feel that they should race it. Now, that doesn't mean they can't, because the human's a durable beast, but it's the same flip-flop that you said. If you've got somebody who's really, you know, light and frail and spindly, having them try to lift weights that are similar to what the power lifter can do, they're probably either not going to be able to do it, or they're going to get it. They're going to get hurt.
Yeah, I hear that.
So again, this is just this prudence that we need to have. And the mm-hmm. tribe, you know, the human, you know, tribe, we have different roles. And, you know, sometimes I'm talking about, you know, roles on the medieval battlefield. That's popular in some of the talks I give, but it doesn't make evolutionary sense that every one of us would be a messenger, you know, like Pheidippides or like a marathoner. You got to have other people to do other things. And who's going to, you know, be the hunter or the warrior or lift the boulder or do these other things? And the messenger's not built to do those things well.
Right. It absolutely. And it does make logical sense, not being a scientist or having a medical background. That absolutely tracks with just man on the street perspective. It's confirmation of what you think naturally, I believe.
So I probably went on and on just because I'm passionate about this, but in pulling this together, yes, every human, everyone is born to be able to walk, jog, and sprint at least some amount. That's the ability that's endemic in the natural human evolution. But no, not everyone's made to run all day. And I'll hold strong to that position, or a portion thereof. And it's extremely unintelligent and inappropriate for them to be told to do so or think that they have.
Yeah, and I think that I was talking with a friend, and you know, she's fit, active, and it was interesting, kind of in these times of the COVID, fitness classes and whatnot are not available. So she's been doing some running, and she said, you know, she's in her early 30s, and she goes, I am just beat up. It's just killing me. And I was like, absolutely. So we, you know, we had a conversation that really just does confirm what you're saying on a, you know, N of one example, that it can be unintelligent, inappropriate. And I'm just saying, this is someone who told me this of their own experience. So I guess it leads me to a question, John. What's the reasonable amount? How can we make an assessment to find that reasonable amount of locomotion for, if we're thinking, okay, I want to get the right amount of locomotion of walk, run, sprint in my life for me as the human beast that I am, how do I get there?
Oh man, I've got a bunch of thoughts to respond to that. You know, first I'd go back to your friend's example and say, sure. Well, part of it could be, you know, a training progression. And, you know, obviously if these isolation things have been thrust on us somewhat rapidly, many people are probably, okay, I'm gonna just grab what I can, and they might not be progressing with ground reaction forces and connective tissue mm-hmm. adaptation slowly enough. And so you know, that I wanted to put that out there. That could be the case. Sure. But if I say, all righty then, this reasonable amount of everybody's doing the locomotion. Come on, oh no, that's the locomotion. Grand Funk Railroad, yeah, baby. What's the reasonable amount? That every human beast should maintain through their lifespan. So this, okay. it's kind of an interesting thing, because a lot of our audience is going to say, I do tons of all three, I'm good, and I'm going to agree with them. Yeah, you are. But for a lot of people, they may only do one or two of the three key components. And so here it is. A functional human is born to and needs to be able to do the following. So again, you got to have these abilities to be maintain all your genetic and evolutionary derived function. You got to be able to walk 5 miles within a day, whether it's continuous or intermittent. You got to get through 5 miles. This is where a lot of the ideas with pedometers and movement trackers, Fitbits, 10,000 steps a day, that's where that's based. Now, here's where, like, okay, I'm going to defend these positions, but you have to be able to jog a mile without stopping from exhaustion. And it doesn't matter how slowly, but you got to be able to jog continuously for 1 mile. And then the yes. last part of this is, you got to be able to sprint a 40. I mean, it's got to feel like a sprint and look like a sprint. And, you know, you've got to not be destroyed in the process. And so those three things, walk 5 miles, jog 1 mile, sprint a 40, they're in your genes. We need to make sure that we've got those things in there. And every one of those things you should be able to do it on demand any day without pulling a muscle, having a heart attack, or being destroyed the next day from agony. This just needs to be a reasonable part of function.
Got it. Now, would you potentially do all three in a day? Would you do just one a day, or would it be a mixed bag?
Well, here's where we get the difference between, say, ability or capacity and sure. then training or exercise behavior. There are some people who may hardly ever do those exact things, but they still have the ability to do it well. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, so I'm not saying, hey, every day you should practice these things. I'm just saying any day you should be able to do them. So hopefully that, you know, was a point to clarify. And if we even take that evolutionary look, which I love doing, using the ancestral lens, you know, hunter-gatherers are, you know, were or still are in some cases going about the daily business, walking intermittently or continuously, and you know, big deal. It's a day at the office. 5 miles is nothing. Occasionally, now picture this one: you're heading back across the savanna from something, you know, gathering or hunting, and you're heading towards the cave, but the storm clouds are building up. So now you gotta trot. So you're just doing a little bit of double time, trotting across the savanna to beat the impending thunderstorm and get back to the safety of the cave. There's a function for you. And in modern life, that can happen. It used to happen in airports. You know, that was discouraged a while back for different reasons. Of course, now we don't even have much travel going on. But nonetheless, that's a function we need. And then lastly, turning on the jets, to get up the tree, get to the tree and get up it to escape the saber tooth. That's such a popular thing to say. But yeah, there are instances where, you know, it's the busy street. You're either crossing or you're rescuing the person that's not looking. You've got a bolt and blast it like Bolt, like Usain Bolt. And never, ever should a human be not equipped with those skills.
Right. I like how all those are very, very tangible. And I think that we can look back at evolution, but just like you said, with sprinting across a busy street and the ability to do those on demand as just having the capability just at the drop of a hat to do them. It absolutely makes sense. And I think that's a good benchmark, you know, to consider whether or not you can do those.
Yeah. And then we kind of should talk about, you know, what you were alluding to. Sure. I felt anyway, like, you know, what about athletes who can and do more of those things, or maybe ones that they do a lot of one, but less of the others. So that was a tougher one for me to explain, but I sure. think I'm going to get after it. Remember first, we all should, that it's this ability we're trying to preserve. So walking is unique in that it's generally an ability that we do preserve through most of the lifespan and should, but because we talk about general daily activity, you know, and walking being such a big part of that, walking is a little bit different in that, yeah, you should actually be adding up your 10,000 steps every day, because that's just good for, you know, metabolic health and longevity.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you should just be tuning into that. And you and I have talked on several of these programs at length about if you have an ability to do it, maybe your phone does that, maybe you have a tracker. It is really staggering on days when you're not paying attention, and maybe it's, you know, 0 degrees here in Montana and you don't move, but, you know, under 1,000 steps or days. And I had one of these last weekend where I went for a walk. I did a bunch of stuff around the house and I got almost 20,000 steps and, you know, like 8 miles or something like that. And without going on a, you know, a long hike. So I do see that paying attention to it and making sure that you get it is crucial. But if you're not paying attention in the modern world, you can actually pretty easily fall into a position where you're not getting those steps.
Yeah. And athletes don't get a buy on this one, you know, because with some aspects of training, there's crossover carryover, but for athletes, there's a thing called active couch potato syndrome, where maybe you hit your workout and then, you know, you just lounge around all the time. Well, that's actually not so good for circulation and metabolism and recovery and even long-term health. And so, so everybody not only has to have this ability to walk their 5-ish miles per day, they actually need to do it, you know, or again, right. get those equivalents. And so that one, I wanted to hit that. But now as I go into really the meat of the athlete argument is this, if you've got jogging and sprinting, you don't actually have to do very much training to keep those functions alive in the body. So, you know, if you do some work in the gym or you play like different, say, court or field sports, you know, any type of regular participation or training can apply to maintaining your abilities. But a little bit of specific practice, now back to what you were alluding to, once or twice a week makes sense to me. So, you know, if you've got a person who is in a power sport, you know, they're an offensive lineman or, you know, power lifter, they're going to say, you know, jogging, you know, doesn't really help me train for my sport. And I'm going to agree with them, of course, but I'm going to say, you know, once a week on a soft surface, nice and slow, just protect your joints, just do that so that you can do it. So you're not caught in a position where, you know, you don't have that capacity available in your toolbox, even though we're respecting your huge power elsewhere. So in this way, it's not unreasonable for any human or any athlete in any sport to just maintain these capacities.
Right. Absolutely. That's a great way of not only saying it, but thinking about it is just work it in case you need to do it. Absolutely makes sense.
Yeah. You never want to be hamstrung and find yourself non-functional. You know, there's big argument now, the specialists versus generalists in many ways. And of course, David Epstein's got his newer book, Range, out about that, which I thought was a good read. But as we start to look at specialists, we need to encourage them to not lose that evolutionary function. So lifters and sprinters aren't fond of jogging, but we just still need to encourage them. Hey, you know, even if you're only going to jog a half mile or three quarters of a mile once a week as a practice thing, you could probably make that mile without collapsing. That's all we need from you. Let's keep that, you know. And then the other side of this, where I get so much pushback and so much argument, is from distance runners and yogis, for example. You know, I say you need to be able to sprint a 40 without tearing something. And they've got a million excuses of why they can't and won't do that. And I say, look, that's bullcrap. The rules are universal, democratic for all humans. This is your function. Don't give it up.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, saying voluntarily going out and doing a workout. But if you say, you go back to the, okay, you need to sprint to avoid, you know, a train coming down the tracks or whatever, it, again, that's life, and that saber tooth going after whoever's the closest is democratic in our evolution. So again, what I hear in this is, if any of us say, okay, I don't either like or believe in or enjoy or think it's important, it, you know, that's an opinion. Empirically, these things are important to being a durable beast. It's just part of the game of being a human beast.
Oh, yeah. And I peeved a guy off hard. Oh, long time ago, it was 20 years ago, I was giving a presentation on this type of a topic, you know, and it was actually to a running group. And this guy was, you know, a weak, stiff, brittle schlep jogger. You know, he confronted me and he's like, I don't do that kind of running anymore. And I said to him, I know, I can tell, I can see it right away in your movement patterns. You can see where that would peeve somebody off pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, an argument ensued. And then I said this, man. I said, hey, you know what? Sometimes we're out there recreating in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem where we have grizzly bears. And, of course, we know about bear safety and using pepper spray and not running and all that stuff. But, you know, in figurative terms, I said, when the bear comes, I will get up the tree first.
How'd that go?
Like I say, super peeve. But, you know, I started off this thing and you called me kind and gentle. But now the real me's coming out. You know, this is Rant, Rave, and Ramble. Folks, you don't, unless you really love it and you really find it to work for you, you don't have to train to run long distances. That, just do it if you want to. But every one of us, your excuse list really doesn't stand up that you need to be able to keep these functions alive. Mm.
I hear it. Speaking the truth, you're not going to get any pushback from this kid.
And as you get older, as I get older, you know, I see 60 on the horizon, you know, use it or freaking lose it, man. I mean, the man doesn't take it. We give it up. We give it up to him. And you know who he is? He's the friggin' reaper.
We give it up to the, wow, I tell you, I think that you're speaking the truth, man. And I think that there's really a check there for all of us. You know, can I do that? Do I have the capability? And, you know, if you're sitting here thinking I should give myself a test, then give it a test. And if you, you know, if you have some deficiencies there, it's achievable. You can get those back for the most part, I believe.
Yeah. And I see now, there's kind of like three levels of folks possibly related to this talk. There's quite a bit of our audience who's probably like rah-rahing, or I hope you are. You know, it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, this is what being an athlete's all about. And most people are going to say, you know, I don't want to not have all my athletic abilities or capacities. Then you got like a middle group where they're going to say, Jay-Z, you're pushing me a little bit with this talk. You know, I don't know if I can or I want to kind of get back into doing all three. I hear that. I'm respectful of it. And then there's, you know, the people that either are so locked up in their mindset that they can't hear this. They're probably not listening to this show. Or there are people for whom we really, really have to recognize that even though this is an important part of function, locomotion is, that ship may have sailed, and there are ways to get those people healthy and fit, but not, they can't do it through this means. So right. What I would say is obviously always work with your HCP, healthcare provider, and get medical clearance, all that. That's a first level, first principle type of thing. And then next up, work with a pro coach or trainer, somebody, at least temporarily if you need to get proper coaching and training and nourish your locomotive function. Don't get hurt or injured or even feel beat up like your friend did. If she had contacted me, I bet you we could have avoided that. But hey, that's water over the dam. And also, this is a shout out to my pal, Larry. Larry the legend, I've talked about him on the show. He and I got a little book project, hopefully to get done this year. Hopefully done dice before. I'm joking, Larry. But realize that this stuff may take months. I mean, it's not tomorrow. The adaptation processes in the body, especially the connective tissues, it takes a while. And I'm always talking with folks, especially when I talk about sprinting, I'm like, you got to earn the right to train. Yeah, it's important. And yeah, you need it. And when you do it, well, it feels amazing, but never, ever do it until you're ready. And that's where you got to put the time in. So it also, again, back to those people that third group that I said, it may be totally off the table. And I'm going to be respectful of that. If you're extremely overweight, you've got orthopedic limitations, joint replacements, et cetera, or disease issues, first of all, I would say make peace. Just make peace that this basic part of human function, may not be something you can restore fully. And that's okay. It doesn't make you a bad person. But all is not lost. There's probably a way to get very healthy and highly fit, just being more creative, again, working with a pro probably. Just not maximally functional from a locomotive perspective. And that's what I've got to say about that, folks.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, John, some of the listeners know I got a dodgy peg, which is, my nomenclature for a bad knee. And, I get my sprinting on the bike. And so that's just, again, making peace with that. That's, something that I've had to do. So that's not only good advice, but, it's practical. And there's also just some, there's some comfort in taking objective stock of where you're at and then going from wherever that is. I appreciate that. And I think that it's, it's something that may be difficult to do initially, but super valuable. And there's some freedom in it once you get there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, we could make that argument that you still have the capacity to do all three of those things. You do quite a bit of walking and hiking, but then when you're training in your gym or you're skiing or you're biking, you're still preserving the ability if you need to jog a mile or to sprint 140 and not be hurt doing it. I just don't think for you it would be appropriate for us to say, hey, let's make that like a daily practice. That volume is excessive given your orthopedic status.
Sure. And I think that's really the point is if I needed to sprint 40 to get out of the way of a truck coming across the road, I could absolutely do it. That's not how personally I'm going to train to keep up that capacity. Yep. I'm going to use different methods so that when I'm faced or, when I'm running from a grizzly bear to get up the tree or try to get up the tree or, have to avoid a storm to get back to the truck again. But that's just not how personally I'm going to build up that capacity or maintain that capacity. And that's okay too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So talk to me about what would someone, you pique someone's curiosity, they say, okay, I want to talk to Coach Jay-Z about this or get in touch or just, engage some of the services. How could they get with you, Jay-Z?
Well, I guess I'd present that in three levels or three tiers as well. There's one's not better than the other. They're just specific to what we're talking about.
Sure, sure.
Let's say a person's got an overt injury and they just need some really official physical therapy help. You can do that with online physical therapy. We can do it. On a different level, let's say, okay, I want to get some coaching, whether that's some look at how I'm moving and what I need to do to correct and restore movement patterns, or I want to tune up my health or body comp, or I'm really trying to get my training program you know, really dialed in for a goal and I want to work with somebody dynamically. Okay, that's a coaching relationship. And then the last thing, or maybe the latest and greatest thing now, is I have the health and performance masterclasses available. So season one of the masterclass experience is May and June of this year. May, the theme for May is human locomotion, as we alluded to earlier. And then for June, it is peak performance training. So what we're going to do in the month of May is every Wednesday over the lunch hour from noon to one, I'm going to have an interactive webinar. You can register for it on the classes page on the website. And we're going to talk about, look at models and whiteboard and screen shares and practice some things to help a person have knowledge and mastery on a topic. And those topics are going to be understanding pronation and how the foot functions. That's number one. We're going to take a look at one of the most common lower extremity injuries, plantar fasciitis. We're going to take a dive into shoes, running shoes, orthotics, how all that works and how do you pick what you need. And then lastly, we're going to look at speed development actually, and kind of present some information on how to make that safe and easy and effective.
I tell you what, just a treasure trove of options there.
Yeah. And one of the, like right now we're kind of, who knows what's going on. And, you know, I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to get outside and work with some people in group and one-on-one capacities, which is one of my loves in the summer. And, you know, with speed and performance, some of the coaching cues just popped into my head. You know, I'm always talking about trying to be prancy dancy and hippity hoppity pippity poppity. And that's what we all need.
Oh man, I tell you what, just beautiful. Are you a rapper too? Are you putting?
Oh no, no, I am a rocker. I'm like Joe Dirt, always have been, and let's make sure we're emphatic about that.
Wow, talk about judgmental. I just you just.
I put it down hard, man.
You recoiled. You said, "Hell no."
No, exactly. And you know what? Like you, I mean, you tell me this all the time. Draw a line in the sand and stand up for what you believe in. I like to rock and roll.
You absolutely like, you love to rock and roll.
Friggin' yes.
John, it was fun this morning. I hope that if you're out there thinking about locomotion, tap into the offerings in May from the Lifetime Athlete.
Absolutely. And if you can give us a rating and review, throw us the bone. We'll keep throwing you more of these pearls of peak performance, wellness, and hard to kill wisdom.
Adios, everyone.